on Sunday morning on the doctrines of the Bible, and for a good while on this doctrine that we're looking at now, the doctrines of the last things, the Bible prophecy, the prophetic scheme of the end time, as the Lord has set it forth in the Bible. And we've seen that the thing that we who are Christians, who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, are looking for right now is the event called the rapture. The rapture is the first phase of Christ's second coming. His second coming is in two phases, and the rapture is the first phase. The rapture is the event when the Lord returns into the clouds of the sky and sends out the call, and the bodies of Christians who have died, whose souls and spirits have gone on to heaven, the bodies will be raised, reunited with the soul and spirit, given an incorruptible body, and so the resurrection will take place at that time. And then at the same time, in connection with that, those Christians who are still alive when that event takes place will be caught up with those who are raised from the dead, will be caught away, and our bodies on the way up will be changed and immortalized. And so the Bible says, shall we ever be with the Lord? That's what we're looking for right now, those of us who are God's people. Now, when that happens, there will be a moment or a period of time there when there will not be a saved person on earth. But when the saved are taken out in the rapture, the saved are taken to heaven, and we do things up there while what takes place on earth for those who are left behind at the rapture is what we call the tribulation period, a seven-year period of time when God's judgment will be poured out on a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-hating world. And then at the end of that tribulation, that 7 years, Christ returns in the second phase of his second coming, the revelation or the glorious appearing. Now, presently we are talking about the tribulation and the things that will take place during that seven-year period of time on earth. And Revelation chapter 6 now, beginning with verse 12, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. And John said, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And so we'll speak to you this morning from this passage. This is the seventh part in this tribulation that we're looking at, or you could simply call it the sixth seal. Father, we approach now the preaching of the Word of God. How we pray that you'll help us to preach in the power, fervor, and unction of the Holy Spirit. I pray that if there are those here who've never received Christ as their Savior, that today might be the day of salvation, that they would come to Him and trust Him, receive Him as Savior. And I pray that you'll teach and edify those who are your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me now. What we're being shown, beginning in Revelation chapter 6 and going all the way over through chapter 19, culminating in chapter 19 with the second coming of Christ in his revelation or his glorious appearing. And what we're being shown in these chapters are the events and judgments which will take place on earth during the seven-year tribulation period which follows the rapture of the church. And so then, when the events of these chapters actually take place, we who are saved right now will all be looking down from heaven, having been raptured before these things begin. Now, if you're not saved at this moment, that's one of many good reasons why you ought to trust Christ and be saved, so you'll be in a position to be raptured out and not have to be left behind to face all these terrible things that are coming on the earth. Now, the setting of John's vision in which these things are revealed is found in chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, and what takes place in these chapters is this. In chapter 4 and verse 1, John is caught up into heaven in a type and a representation of the rapture. And on the throne in heaven, he sees the Lord God holding a book or a scroll that's sealed with seven seals, chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, this seven-sealed book or scroll is the title deed to the earth, containing the earth's redemption terms in the form of judgments, which must be unleashed on the earth before the earth's redemption is finalized and it's restored to its Garden of Eden blessedness. Now, the seals on this book of the earth's redemption terms could only be broken by the Redeemer, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we come then into chapter 6, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, begins to break the seals on this book, on this scroll, and each time that a seal is broken, a judgment is revealed which will ultimately be unleashed on the earth during the tribulation period after the rapture. Now, as we come to our text passage in the latter verses of chapter 6, we find the Lamb of God opening the sixth seal. Thus, up to this point in chapter 6, five of the seals on the book have been broken. Now, the first seal, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, is broken, and it leads to the rise to power of the individual that we refer to as the Antichrist. He's called the Beast later in Revelation. The second seal is broken in verses 3 and 4, and terrible war is unleashed on the earth. Then the third seal is broken in verses 5 and 6, and it leads to an awful famine. The fourth seal is broken in verses 7 and 8, and this results in the destruction of one-fourth of the earth. And then the fifth seal is opened in verses 9 through 11, and the fifth seal is the seal of martyrdom, resulting in God's people being martyred and slaughtered, and their souls in heaven crying out to the Lord for vindication. And now, we come to the opening of the sixth seal, and the expression that I want us to remember about this sixth seal is this: cosmic chaos. Now notice what the passage says. Verses 12 through 14, John said, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she's shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Now there we see the judgment itself. Then in verses 15 through 17, we see the response of the unsaved on earth to this judgment. Verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" cosmic chaos. Now, let me say at the very beginning that I believe that this passage is telling of things which will truly happen and that it's to be interpreted literally. In other words, I believe that when it says that there was an earthquake, that it means that there was an earthquake, that the earth began to shiver and shake as it does in an earthquake. I believe that when it says that the sun is darkened, that it's talking about the sun up in the sky being darkened and so forth right on through. But I believe that it's telling about things that are literal, not things that are supposed to be spiritualized and applied in some other area. Now, I point this out because of the tendency of Bible commentators, and especially of those commentators who lived decades, maybe centuries ago, to allegorize everything in this passage. I mean, if you'll read the old commentaries, you'll find explanations for this passage about how the earthquake is referring to the fact that the governmental and ecclesiastical systems of the earth will be shaken up, and the darkening of the sun speaks of how the light of spiritual knowledge will be darkened and so forth. Now then, all of these things may happen, but I do not believe that this passage is talking about any of these things. I believe that this passage is referring to what has been called by the two-word description that I gave you a minute ago, cosmic chaos. And notice this morning three things about this sixth seal and the devastation that it brings. We'll see, first of all, its timing. Secondly, its terrors. And thirdly, its tragedy. And so then, I call your attention first to the timing of this sixth seal. Now, there is a specific sequence set forth here as to the timing of this seal and its judgments, which is very significant. One thing that we notice is that those who are the recipients of the judgments unleashed when this seal is broken, they recognize that this judgment is a manifestation of God's judgment of the wrath of the Lamb. They understand that God is directly involved with what takes place when this seal is opened. Now, if we connect this fact to the timing of this judgment as it relates to the sequence of these seal judgments, then we'll see a great truth. Now, follow me here. The first four seals are the same as you know, if you'll, you don't have to do it now, but if you'll read the first eight verses, you'll see that the first four seals, when each seal is opened, a horseman comes forth, the so-called four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, the first four seals, the four horsemen, were largely and primarily judgments produced by the outworking of man's sinfulness. Now, God is sovereign, and he had to allow these things to happen, but basically the first four seals were simply judgments that were brought about by God allowing man to give vent to his own wickedness. I mean, the rise of the Antichrist. Well, he rises because men receive him. The second seal, the red horse of war. Well, war, that's something man's been involved in ever since he's been around. The third seal, famine, that's probably a result of the war under the second seal, something that man did. And then the fourth seal, the fourth horseman, the pale horse of death and hell, destruction unleashed on the earth. But the description has to do with things that man do. And then you come to the fifth seal, and then under the fifth seal, many who are saved after the rapture are martyred by the devil's crowd here on earth, and the soul souls of these martyrs are taken to heaven, and there they cry out to the Lord for vindication. But now, under the sixth seal, God, who had basically let man have his way in the first four seals, in this sixth seal, he steps in personally to answer the prayers of the martyred souls of the saints that were slain under the fifth seal. You see, when God's people are persecuted and murdered and slaughtered, God takes it personally, and he exacts a vengeance from those who cause the sufferings of his people. I'm saying that the timing of this judgment, when God begins to shake this universe, comes in answer to and as God's response to the prayers of his persecuted, martyred saints. In other words, under the fifth seal, the devil's crowd persecutes and murders God's people, whose souls then go to heaven and begin to cry out for vindication. Now under this sixth seal, God basically says to the devil's crowd on earth, hey, let me show you what I think about what you did to my people under the fifth seal. And he grabs hold of this universe, as it were, and shakes it in his wrath at the persecution of his people. And so it's the timing of this opening of this seal is significant. Now let's move on and talk about the terrors of this seal, verses 12 through 14. John said, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, these judgments unleashed under this sixth seal are significant in two ways. Number one, they begin the fulfillment of prophecies about the end time cosmic disturbances that we find set forth over and over and over again in Bible prophecy. Now, I'm going to read you some passages from both the Old Testament and the New Testament that will demonstrate what I'm talking about, that these judgments which begin to be fulfilled when the sixth seal is opened, these types of judgments were predicted again and again in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 10 through 13 tell us this: for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Did you hear all that Isaiah said was going to happen about the sun being darkened and the moon refusing to shine, and the world being punished, and the proud and arrogant being laid low, and the Lord shaking the heavens? Well, that begins to be fulfilled when the sixth seal is opened. Isaiah chapter 24 and verses 19 through 21, Isaiah said this: the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse number 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. And then in the Minor Prophets, that little collection of 12 prophetic books at the end of the Old Testament, the second of the Minor Prophets is the prophet Joel. In Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31, Joel says about the Lord God, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Joel chapter 3, verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Haggai chapter 2, Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And then in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 21, the Lord Jesus here was telling the disciples some things about the end time. And in Luke 21 and verse 11, Jesus said, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. And then down in verses 25 and 26, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. In Acts chapter 2, in the sermon that Peter preached at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Peter quotes Joel, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And then in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, and verse number 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now, these prophecies that I've read of earthquakes and disturbances in the heavens and the shaking of the heavens, these prophecies begin to be fulfilled when the sixth seal is opened. That's the first thing about these judgments unleashed under the sixth seal. They begin the fulfillment of prophecies about end-time cosmic disturbances that we find set forth again and again in the pages of the Bible. And then a second thing is this. the types of judgments that begin to be unleashed under this sixth seal, the earthquakes, the disturbances in the heavens, the cosmic disorder, all of these things, listen, they begin here under the sixth seal, but these types of judgments will continue throughout the remainder of the tribulation period. For example, Jesus, in the Olivet Discourse, as they call it, in Matthew 24 and verse 29, said this, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Now Jesus said that that would occur after the tribulation of those days, and so it will, but it begins to be fulfilled, that type of judgment, when the sixth seal is unleashed. Now let me show you what I mean. For example, one of the things mentioned when the sixth seal is broken is the earthquake that'll take place. However, as you continue to study the book of Revelation, you find that there are more earthquakes to follow. In chapter 8 and verse 5, in connection with the introduction to the trumpet judgments, there's an earthquake. In chapter 11 and verse 13, at the ascension of the two witnesses, we see an earthquake. Chapter 11, verse 19, at the blowing of the seventh trumpet, we find an earthquake. Chapter 16 and verse 18, in connection with the seventh vial, comes the worst earthquake of all time. And so it begins here under the sixth seal, but then it continues with more earthquakes to follow. This sixth seal, we see the disturbances in heaven, the atmosphere or space, but it doesn't stop here with this seal. As you read on in the book of Revelation, in chapter 8 and verse 7, the first trumpet, some kind of a disturbance in the atmosphere. Chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, when the second trumpet is blown, again, disturbances that result in strange things taking place in the atmosphere. Chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, when the third trumpet is blown, again, disturbances in the heavens. Chapter 8 and verse 12, when the fourth trumpet is blown, there comes again disturbances in the heavens. Chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, when the fourth vial is poured out, again, we see disturbances in the heavens. And then chapter 16 and verse 21, the seventh vial brings more of the same. And so, these types of judgments begin to be poured out when the sixth seal is broken, but then it continues on throughout the days of the tribulation. We were told under the sixth seal about the movement of mountains and islands. Well, that happens again in chapter 16 and verse 20 in connection with the seventh vial judgments. And so I'm saying that these cosmic judgments, which begin under the sixth seal of Revelation chapter 6, they begin there, but they do not end there. They continue throughout the remainder of the tribulation as the earth and the universe go through convulsions, and by the time it's over, the topography of the earth will be completely changed. I've said before, I don't think we have any idea of just how bad things are going to be during the tribulation, and I'm glad I'll never know by experience, because I'll be raptured out beforehand, and if you're saved, so will you. Now, John mentions six specific things that happen under this sixth seal judgment. Now, the fact that they're all put together as part of the same seal judgment indicates that these things are interconnected with one another, and the things that happen strike terror into the hearts of the devil's crowd, as we'll see. Now, what the six things that John said took place when the sixth seal is opened are as follows. Number one, a great earthquake. Number two, the sun, he said, became black as sackcloth of hair. That refers to the Bedouins' tents, made of the hair of black goats, which was jet black. Number three, the moon became as blood. Number four, the stars fall like bad figs falling from a fig tree in a great windstorm. Now, you need to understand that a star in the Bible speaks of any bright, illuminated object in the sky. And so, then number five, the heaven, the scripture says, it departs as a scroll when it's rolled together. And number six, every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Now, those are the six specific things that John mentions that'll take place when this sixth seal is broken. Now, let me give you two possibilities as to what may be happening here. Now, I said possibilities. You do understand this. God could do it some different way. I mean, God ain't got to go by what I think. He could fulfill these things in a totally different fashion than what I'm going to tell you. But these are just two possibilities of what may be taking place here. Some people think, first of all, that what John is describing here are the effects of an all-out nuclear war with ICBMs or space weaponry being used. And you can imagine these missiles flying through the sky, entering the atmosphere like stars shooting through the sky. The blasts, nuclear blasts, triggering a massive earthquake, so much that the atmosphere begins to, the sun's blotted out, the moon begins to look with a blood red color, the shock waves push the atmosphere back, causes it to roll back on itself like a scroll being unrolled and then rolled together, and all of this resulting in massive amounts of the Earth's crust being moved out of place so that the mountains and islands are displaced. So that may be. Now again, that doesn't have to be what it's talking about. Again, God doesn't have to go by what we see. God goes by what He sees. And He sees a whole lot more than we do. Then a second thing, others believe, and I tend to fall in this category, that what John is describing here is the impact of asteroids or comets or meteoroids, that type of thing, with the Earth and the effects of that. An asteroid, a comet, a meteoroid collides with the Earth. Well, that's a falling star. You do know that a falling star is referring to meteors that got through, right? One of you knew that. These falling stars, would result in nuclear explosions causing the atmosphere, pushing it back, throwing debris into the air, darkening the sun, causing the moon to appear blood red, triggering the awful earthquake, and then resulting in the mountains and islands being moved out of their places due to the earthquake and the tidal waves and the convulsions of the earth that take place. That could be what this is, or again, it could be something totally different than either of these things. God can do it ever how He wants to, but this is a description of what takes place. And so we've talked about then the timing of this seal. being broken. We've talked about the terrors of the breaking of this seal. Thirdly and finally, I want you to notice the tragedy. Verses 15 through 17, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, the tragedy is that these earth dwellers who are afflicted and affected by this judgment and recognize it as the hand of God still refuse to turn to the God who controls these things. Let me point out four things about this. Number one, this judgment affects everyone, whether great or small. Look again at verse 15. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman and every free man, it sounds like everybody there is to me, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, everybody's affected by this judgment. In previous judgment, for example, under the third seal, when the third seal was broken, it resulted in famine. But the famine doesn't touch the rich and the wealthy. But here under this sixth seal, it is specifically pointed out that the wealthy and all of the big shots are affected just like the little shots. I mean, the free men are affected just like the bondmen are affected. I'm saying that under this judgment, these earth dwellers are affected whether rich or poor, small or great, regardless of what their position is on this earth, this judgment affects them. And so they begin to try to find a place to hide, a refuge, a shelter, like the Muslim terrorists. They go underground and begin to hide in the caves and crevices of the earth to try to escape the devastation of this judgment. Second thing about it, those who are judged in this judgment recognize that this is God's judgment. I mean, these people, says verse 16, they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? See, they have full knowledge that the judgment that is being carried out when this seal is broken is a manifestation of the wrath of the Lamb. Boy, what a phrase that is, the wrath of the Lamb. But they recognize it. Now, see, you talk to sinners, many times a sinner, a lost sinner, refuses to recognize that God has anything to do with anything that happens to him. I mean, you know, it's almost comical, really. You see somebody and God's just wailing on them, you know, and it's obvious to everybody else. But you talk to them, you know, maybe the Lord's trying to get through to you. Maybe you need to get saved or get right with God or something. Oh, no, it's not that. Well, these people recognize that this is the hand of God. Number three, though they recognize that it's God's judgment, rather than turning to the Lord, these people prefer to die in landslides and so forth. It said that they began to, they hid themselves in the latter part of verse 15 in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They refused to pray to the Rock of Ages, and now they pray to the rocks and mountains. They could have been hidden in the Lamb, but now they ask to be hidden from the Lamb. So rather than turning to the Lord, these people prefer to die in landslides and so forth. They're so hardened now in their Christ rejection, in their Bible hatred, in their rejection of God and everything that he has to do with, that they prefer to pray to the mountains and rocks to fall on them and hide them from the Lamb rather than to be hid in the Lamb. And number four, the refusal of these people to turn to the Lord sets a pattern that they follow throughout the tribulation period. As the judgments are unleashed all through the remainder of the tribulation period, this same crowd here refuses to come to the Lord, refuses to submit to him, but rather continues in their rejection of him. Let me show you this. Chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. By this time, we're shown several more judgments, and yet the scripture says, chapter 9, verse 20, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. I mean, God sends judgment after judgment after judgment. They just continue to refuse to repent. Chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. As we come into chapter 16, we're coming very close to the end of the tribulation. But verses 8 and 9 of chapter 16 tells us this. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, now listen to this, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Again, judgment comes, but they still refuse to repent. Chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. God sends judgment. They still refuse to repent. Sounds kind of like Pharaoh back in the Old Testament. Judgment after judgment, he still refused to repent. And this is what happens in the tribulation period. I say again, I'm glad I won't be here. The only way I'll know about it is from what the Bible says and from what if God lets us look down and see what's taking place. But I won't be involved in it because I'm going out at the rapture before the tribulation begins, and so are you if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, this is a good reason to get saved. Because if you're not saved and don't get saved, and the rapture occurs this afternoon, you'll be left behind, and you'll face these things that the Bible tells us are coming. These people try to hide from God under the rocks and mountains, but there's no hiding from God. The poet said, "You cannot hide from God, though mountains cover you. His eye our secret thoughts behold, his presence all our lives enfold. He knows our purposes untold. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God, no matter what you do. He meets you at life's every turn. He knows your thoughts that blight and burn. He weeps when his own son you spurn. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God, though quietly you go. He notes your footsteps ere they fall. He hears your silent, heartfelt call. His knowledge rules high over all. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. This one thing you can do. If you would save your sinful soul, if you would be made pure and whole, if you would reach the higher goal, your soul must hide in God. And this morning, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as Savior, and be hidden then in the Lamb. You know, the Bible says of Christians that we are dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God. It's a good hiding place. You come to Christ and receive Him today, and He'll hide you as well. Father, would you bless these thoughts now to the